Welcome back to the show.
So how y'all doing today?
Welcome to Tracy's Think Big podcast.
All right, let's make a little magic.
So who out there needs a new plan?
Remember, this is the show where no question is off the table. I mean, no question.
I promise you, heaven has a solution. Okay, I'm gonna make a note of that. And I'm gonna stick it right here.
And I want somebody to light up that chat feed.
Those comments, they're about to make me cry.
This is not a season to limit God.
I want you to say these words with me. I will think big. Hi, and welcome to the Think Big podcast, where each week we talk with athletes, pop culture voices, entrepreneurs, and spiritual leaders who all have one thing in common, and that is they challenge us to think big. I'm your host, Tracy Mitchell, and today we're going to hopefully inspire you to stop or at least take a lengthy pause to notice the world around you. In just a few moments, we're going to be talking with Ron Hall, international art dealer, New York Times bestselling author of The Same Kind of Different as Me. And I warn you that Ron's story is not one that you can unhear, and it's definitely not one that you can unsee. Whether you read the book, watch the movie, or you actually hear him speak in person, this true, timeless tale will be absolutely unforgettable. Now, I have to admit that I read Ron's book long before I met him. A few years ago, his book landed on my desk. Admittedly, it was a gift from a friend. And as an avid reader and published author, I'm extremely selective, if not borderline critical, on what I read. And the truth is, the back cover of his book is actually what pulled me in. It said, a dangerous homeless drifter who grew up picking cotton in virtual slavery collides with an Armani-wearing upscale art dealer. And I thought, okay, well, at least you have my interest, if not my attention. And I was on a flight home from Montreal. I read the first half of the book on that day, and then it took me short of two other days to finish the book. And the story, which is gritty with pain and betrayal and brutality, all of that somehow intersects with life-changing love. And this story was far more sensational than what I ever imagined. Critically acclaimed and best-selling. This is huge. With over 2 million copies, a New York Times platinum bestseller, which stayed atop of the list for more than 3.5 years and went on to be a major motion picture by Paramount. It was heralded by critics and audiences as powerful and engaging, and it starred, here are a few names that you might be familiar with, Renee Zellweger, John Voight, and Olivia Holt. A few years later, I would run into Ron at various charity events here in Dallas, and he's actually as kind, as charming, and as generous in person as the movie would have you believe. And so before we bring Ron onto the program, let me layer just a little bit more of his backstory. By his own admission, Ron's life centered around his successful career as an international art dealer, and he had one passion, and that was for his Rocky Top Ranch on the beautiful Brazos River. All this changed with a chance encounter of a homeless man named Denver Moore. And Denver, by the way, when Ron met him, was threatening to kill everyone in the homeless shelter in Fort Worth, Texas. The story takes readers on an emotional roller coaster ride. And by the end of the journey, audience leave with a fresh perspective of hope and redemption. I love this. First Lady Barbara Bush said, Denver Moore and Ron Hall's story is one that moved her to tears, calling the friendship between the two men an inspiration to us all to be more compassionate to everyone that we come into contact with. You know, I think that's such a strong reminder that everyone is carrying a story that we really don't know about. And in a world that's become more and more me-centric, inward focused, where people, we've honestly as a society been programmed that in order to be successful, that we have to be me-ism minded. And this book tells a very different story. It showcases the very best of the human spirit. And we find that our best is displayed when we act in very altruistic ways. We become philanthropic and genuinely concerned about others. Now, as we prepare to talk to Ron, I want you to join me and I want you to watch this 1 minute clip from the movie, Same Kind of Different as Me.
There's a lot of messed up things in this world. Plenty of stuff I just don't understand. And no shortage of bad things happening to good people.
What's your name?
You don't need to know my name.
Well, I'd like to know your name.
Somebody once said, God works in mysterious ways. And that's exactly what he did.
Right, are you ready? So let's welcome onto the show, Ron Hall. Hello, Ron.
Hi, Tracy.
Welcome and thank you so much for being a part of Think Big broadcast. And for time's sake, I just want to jump right into your story. I've been sharing with our audiences about the success of your book, Same Kind of Different as Me. But I wanted them to hear a little bit of maybe some of the details that didn't make the final cut of the movie or parts of the story that they may not be familiar with. As I was watching a previous interview, you described yourself, I love these words, as a money chaser, but your wife, Deborah, as a God chaser. You are making millions of dollars a month, or at least $1 million a month, became ensnared in an extramarital affair. Your wife graciously, lovingly forgave you, and your marriage was healed. But in that process, you made a promise. You said, "What if you will get me out of this, forgive me, restore it, then I'll make a pledge to you that whatever you ask down the road, I will do for you." And 10 years later, your wife actually had a dream and she would make good on that promise. If you would tell us about that dream and what happened next.
Well, that's a really good introduction. And I think that I want to just say that the morning that she woke me up after the dream, we had put our marriage together. It had been 10 years. And when she told me that she would never bring the subject again, if I would promise not to do it again. And so she said, all I want you to do is be faithful. And so I was faithful. And so we were rocking along, really enjoying life, had a great marriage. We loved our ranch. We had built a new home, our dream home. But she woke up one morning and she said, Ron, I had the most extraordinary dream last night. She said, I saw the face of a homeless man. And she said, it was like a verse in Ecclesiastes 9:15, where Solomon wrote, there was found in the city a certain poor man who was wise, and by his wisdom, the city was changed, yet no one knew his name. And she said, I believe that this man will have wisdom for us and our lives will be changed if we can go find him. Would you go with me into the inner city of Fort Worth, Texas, to find this man of my dream? So that morning we did. We began walking the inner city streets where all the homeless people live. And we didn't find him that day. So by the end of the day, she said, well, let's go volunteer at this mission and start serving an evening meal. So we walked into the Fort Worth Union Gospel Mission and began serving an evening meal that day.
And that's where you stumbled upon Denver.
Well, I stumbled upon him, like you said in your introduction. We'd been there a couple of weeks serving an evening meal. And when all of a sudden the men were exiting the chapel, but from another door comes this giant looking man with no shirt, no shoes, and just some raggedy old unzipped khakis. And he's screaming at the top of his lungs, "I'm going to kill whoever done it. I'm going to kill whoever stole my shoes." And I've never been so scared in my life. He started overturning the tables and beating up everybody within reach. And it was pandemonium and screaming and cursing and blood and everything going on. So I hit my knees. I should have been in prayer, but I was just in fear. So I was hiding behind the counter, the stainless steel counter. And I thought for a second, well, I wonder what happened to Debbie. So I looked out from my hiding place, and she was all excited and jumping up and down like a cheerleader on the sideline of a football game. She said, "That's him." And I looked up, and by that time, there were 20 or 30 men engaged in this brawl inside the homeless shelter and inside the dining room. And I said, "Well, which one?" And she said, "The one who threatened to kill everyone." And so she looked down at me, and I was still on my knees, and she looked down and she pointed at me and she said, "And Ron, I think I heard from God that you have to be his friend and find out if my dream is really from God." And I shot a look back at Debbie and I said, "But Debbie, I was not at that meeting you had with God. And if I'm going to be friends with someone who wants to kill everybody, I think I should go talk to God myself." So that night I did have a little talk with God. And though I didn't hear an audible voice, I know that he told me that being friends with a homeless man was a small price to pay for the forgiveness that he and Debbie had shown me. Wow. So for Debbie and God, I began to pursue a friendship with this homeless man who, by the way, on the street, he was only known as Suicide.
Wow.
Messing with him was the equivalent of committing suicide.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, an amazing thing happened now, Ron, when you asked Denver to be your friend. He had a totally different philosophy about what true friendship really is all about. Can you tell us about that?
Well, yes. For 5 months, I pursued him through the inner city almost on a daily basis. And I finally get him in my car, take him to breakfast. I asked him to be my friend. And he said he was going to have to think about that because he didn't want any friends. So a couple of days later, I saw him taking trash out of his dumpster. So I invited him to go to Starbucks. We're sitting at Starbucks. And he said, I've been thinking a lot about what you asked me. I said, "What did I ask you that required any thought?" He said, "Well, you asked me if I'd be your friend." And I said, "Well, I sure did. So what do you think about that?" He said, "Well, to tell you the truth, there's something about white folks that I heard that really bothers me. And it's got to do with fishing." And I said, "Well, Denver, I'm a cowboy and a rancher and an art dealer, but I don't really know anything about fishing. I don't even have a tackle box, a rod and reel." And he said, "But I bet you can answer the question." I said, "Well, okay, ask." And he said, "I heard when white folks go fishing, they do this thing they call catch and release." And I said, "Well, of course they do, Denver. It's a sport. You don't get it?" He said, "No, sir, I don't get it. Because back on the plantation where I grew up in Louisiana, we'd go out in the morning, we'd cut us a cane pole and dig us a can full of worms. We'd sit on the riverbank all day. And when we finally got something on our line, we were proud of what we caught and we'd take it back and share it with all the folk on the plantation." He said, "So it occurred to me, if you're just a white man fishing for a friend and you go catch and release, I ain't got no desire to be your friend." And my mind flashed back to Debbie's dream of a poor man who was wise, because what he's told me at that moment was the wisest thing I'd ever heard on friendship. So I told him, I said, "Okay, Denver, you've got a friend." And he said, "You do too. You've got a friend for life." And I said, "You do too." And I thought, wow, what did I just get myself into? So,
wow. And this book, really, I've read it cover to cover. Now, after talking with you, I really want to go back and reread it again with fresh eyes. But his wisdom is extraordinary. And this book just unpacks in a beautiful way your entire friendship. And I love that. Now, you also tell a story about when you and Denver, I believe Denver was with you, when you went out on the streets and decided to give out dollar bills and you stumbled upon a drunk man named Jose. Can you tell us about that?
Well, yes, I had decided early in our friendship that I was going to be really benevolent. So I went to the bank that morning and got $101 bills and asked Denver to start walking with me on the streets and giving everybody that we saw a dollar. So like I was going to really be changing lives that day. But we had passed out all of our money and we were walking back toward the mission, toward the dumpster where he lived. And all of a sudden I see a man who appeared to be so drunk that he couldn't stand up. And so I was feeling benevolent and had Denver in my presence. So I wanted to act like I cared about this man. So I just went up to him and says, anything I can do to help you? And he slurred his words. Yeah, a couple of dollars would be nice. And so I reached in my pocket and all I saw was a $20 bill. So I just stuck it back in my pocket. And Denver saw me do that. He said, give the man the 20. And I said, why? I said, it'll just get him drunker than he already is. And he said, well, Mr. Ron, you just give the man the 20 and leave it up to God what he does with the money. So I gave the man the 20 and we walked away and Denver stopped me on the corner. And he said, I want to tell you something, Mr. Ron, that man that you judged is named Jose and he doesn't drink or do drugs. He said he came here from Mexico to work and he sends all of his money back to his family. He chooses to be homeless so he doesn't have to pay rent. He chooses to eat at the mission so he can eat free. And he said, that man had a stroke 3 months ago and hasn't been able to work. So you judged a man without knowing his heart. And he said, so let me tell you something, Mr. Ron, if you're going to walk these streets with me, you leave your judge's robe at home in the closet. He said, what do you see down there at the end of the street? And I said, well, I see the courthouse. He said, you sure do. And let me tell you, that courthouse is full of judges and God ain't looking for no more of them. He wants servants. So if you're coming down on the streets with me, you come as a servant. So
wow.
That's how I
he is such a character and his role in the book, just the verbiage and the way the words and conversation are strung out are so enjoyable to read. Now we have time for about one more question and I really want to just pause here as I ask this question. It's very important in the storyline that one day Denver comes to you and I want to get this quote right. He said, what Miss Debbie is doing for the homeless, he said, makes her precious with God, which makes her important to Satan. He said, you better watch your backside. Tell me a little bit about what that comment really was leading up to.
Well, 2 days later, Debbie was diagnosed with cancer, the healthiest woman I'd ever known. Mm-hmm. And so Denver was almost like a spiritual savant. He saw around corners. He saw what was coming next. And that's when Debbie said he was a poor man who was wise. He was the wisest man I'd ever known, though he'd never been to school a day in his life. But she was diagnosed with cancer. Some people thought, some doctors thought she wouldn't live 6 months and some optimistically thought a year. But the good news is she lived 19 months. But during the 19 months, the man that I once thought had nothing to offer me in a friendship became the person that God used to encourage us the most through the darkest days of our lives. And he would show up at our home every morning or the hospital or wherever Debbie was with a fresh new word of encouragement that he had gleaned from hours on his knees by his dumpster every night. And he was the one that on the day that God chose to take Debbie to heaven, he came to say, I was talking to God last night and he told me that he's taking Miss Debbie home today and I'd like to go spend some time with her. So,
Wow. And if you could walk me through, I know that her last statement was very impactful and important to you. What was one of the last things that Debbie said to you?
Well, after Denver left her room, he wanted a private moment with her where he told her that he was going to let her go. God was going to let her go and she could lay down her torch for the homeless. And God told him to pick up the torch that she carried for the homeless and for him to carry it the rest of his life. But then when I went in to see her after that, she said, please don't give up on Denver. God is going to bless your friendship in a way that you can never imagine.
Wow.
So as you know, I've written another book now called Working Our Way Home, and I tell about the 10 years that Denver and I lived together as roommates.
It's amazing. Well, you two also ended up at the White House in 2007. President Bush appointed you to the State Department Cultural Property Committee to advise the president on diplomatic matters regarding international art and antiquities. But then you later went with Denver. And I think that's just such a comical story, one that they may have to either read in the book or watch in the movie. But both of you actually ended up at the White House. And again, the tale and how, I love storytelling. Love it, love it. And to see how you fused this book together. And I know a little bit of the backstory about what it took to get this book published by a traditional publisher, and all the more so, so proud of that platinum bestseller on the New York Times seller list. If you want to know more about Ron, where can they go and find out more about you?
Well, you know, we have our foundation called the Same Kind of Different as Me Foundation. It's samekindfoundation.org, or you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and all of that. You know, Ron Hall Gallery, Ron Hall, Same Kind of Different as Me. It's all out there and easy to find. Just Google Ron Hall. It'll take you down a rabbit trail here of all kinds of things we're involved in. So,
yeah, but it's a good one. I think I followed it for a few hours the other day and still wasn't satisfied with all that I was reading and seeing. And so be sure to follow Ron. Again, thank you for being with us today. Your story is amazing. One worth telling, one worth hearing. Thank you so much for joining us today.
And the Ron Hall podcast, the Ron Hall Show, which we have an amazing show up right now. So,
I'll follow you for sure. I'll do that myself today. If you've enjoyed today's program, we would so appreciate you clicking the like, share, and follow button. If you're looking for Think Big resources, be sure to follow us as well at tracymitchell.com. Some of our best-selling books are there as well. Becoming Brave, How to Think Big, Dream Wildly, and Live Fear-Free. Downside Up, a revolutionary book that will teach you how to turn rejection into life's golden opportunity, as well with many other products that you'll want, resources that you'll want to find. Thank you again for being a part of the conversation today. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast. Leave us a review, but only if it's a good one. Again, follow us on Instagram, Twitter. Until we meet next week, as always, and every season, remember to have great faith and think big. Until next time, see you.